Today is the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany. Our readings are from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 1 through 10, Psalm 71, verses 1 through 18, and the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. The message is titled, Began with the Teaching of the Word. Now, the lessons this morning I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Jeremiah 1, beginning at verse 1, the prophet writes, The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, one of the priests who was in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amnon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, and until the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, until the captivity of Jerusalem in the 5th month. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, Ah, Lord, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I'm only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. Here ends our reading from the prophet Jeremiah, Psalm 71. In you, O Lord, do I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, deliver me and rescue me. Incline your ear to me and save me. Be to me a rock of refuge, to which I may continually come. You have given the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Rescue me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and cruel man. For you, O Lord, are my hope, my trust, O Lord, from my youth. Upon you I have leaned from before my birth. You are he who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. I have been as a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your glory all the day. Do not cast me off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength is spent. For my enemies speak concerning me. Those who watch for my life consult together and say, God has forsaken him. Pursue and seize him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste to help me. My accusers be put to shame and consumed. With scorn and disgrace may they be covered who seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day, for their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. Here ends our reading from Psalm 71, the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 31. And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and a power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went to every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now when the sun was setting, anyone who was sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving. But he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching. And put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination, and to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the early church. I found this fascinating as I was looking at Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 opens after the baptism of Jesus, with Jesus being full of the Holy Spirit, and then with the Spirit leading Jesus from the Jordan into the wilderness. He experiences 40 days of trying and tempting and testing by the devil, also known as accuser and slanderer, altogether evil. Each temptation from the evil one was answered with the Word of God. Example, when tempted to turn stone into bread, Jesus answered, "It has been written, man does not live on bread alone." Well, that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. "He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." Gegraptai. That's what's translated as "it has been written." Gegraptai. The sacredness of what has been written down in the scriptures. It's sacred. But these days, as a result of textual criticism, source criticism, basically it's the way they've been doing, looking at the Bible, criticizing it. It's like they're dissecting the books of the Bible. And as you know, dissections are done on dead things. So the criticism approach to the Bible treats the Bible as if these are dead words, without any possibility of Holy Spirit inspiration, which does transcend time. So Gebdaptai, "it has been written," is a really powerful understanding of the sacred word. Because Christ answered the uttermost of evil with gegreptai. It has been written. The uttermost of evil was answered with, it has been written. Specifically, the book of Deuteronomy. The word gegreptai is in the perfect indicative tense. Perfect tense, indicative mood. But perfect tense describes a completed action which produces results that are still in effect all the way up to the present time. So a completed action and the results are still in effect. That's present tense. So this is really powerful to think about. The completed action and the results are still there. The results are still there. Perfect tense. Keep this in mind. Perfect tense. Completed action. Continual results. Those results continue to the very present moment. Indicative mood of the Greek word. The verb indicative mood expresses an action of an event as something real, as certain. In other words, it's an objective fact. So it's an objective fact. It has been written. It's an objective fact. The writing of the words in the scripture, it's real. It is an objective fact. And the results of those written words are still in effect all the way up to this present time. Completed action, continuing results. It has been written. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Now the answer to the third temptation there in Luke chapter 4. The one where the evil one begins with, it has been written. Jesus answers in a different manner. It has been said. This is fascinating. It's fascinating to note why the change in manner of answering. For the two previous times Jesus answered, it has been written. This time he answers, it has been said. It's again in perfect tense, indicative mood. Just as it has been written is perfect tense, indicative mood. What Jesus says is found written in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 16, which begins with, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The word spoken by God becomes the word written in the sacred scriptures. The word came from God, spoken, and then was written down. We heard this morning, Jeremiah chapter 1, beginning of verse 4. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. The word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is writing down what was spoken to him from the Lord. There's other places we see this happening. Exodus 34, beginning at verse 27. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 34, beginning of verse 24. After Moses finished writing in a book the words of this law from beginning to end, he gave this command to the Levites who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. Take this book of the law and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. There it will remain as a witness against you. Isaiah 30, verse 8. Go now, write it on a tablet for them. Inscribe it on a scroll, for that the days to come it may be an everlasting witness. God instructs his word to be written down, so that will be an everlasting witness. So see it this way, think of it this way. What was spoken was written. What was written is now being spoken. And the speaking forth, it brings a power to the words. The speaking forth of words is a power behind it. just as Genesis 1, verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the spoken word brought to close the temptations from the devil, and the devil departed till an opportune time. It has been written, it has been written, another temptation came. It has been said. The temptations are closed. The power of the word. Jesus in Nazareth there in Luke 4, he's now in Nazareth, his hometown. The scroll of Isaiah is handed to him. Jesus opens the scroll, finding the place where it has been written of the Messiah who is to come. The description would be signs that the one is the Messiah. So Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. This is what Jesus read from the scroll of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Then these powerful words were spoken. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. The Messiah has come. I am. Amazed and gracious words then flowed there in Nazareth synagogue for a while, until, isn't this Joseph's son? Leaving Nazareth, Jesus heads now down to Capernaum in Galilee. As was his custom on the Sabbath, Jesus goes into the synagogue. Jesus was teaching. And we need to keep in mind the pattern of the synagogue is reading from the scripture, then teaching on what was just read from the scripture. So the pattern that you saw there in Nazareth, the scroll handed to him and Jesus reads from it and then teaches from it, that's what happens wherever he goes in the synagogue. That's the pattern of teaching. It's a pattern that was carried on in the early church, and it's carried on to this very day. Scriptures are read aloud, for there is power in the reading aloud of the scriptures, and then teaching on what was read. Luke 4, verse 31. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. Teaching, didasko. It means to teach, means to instruct. And the New Testament usage of this word always was about teaching the scripture. Teaching of what it has been written. The scripture, the word of God. The key role of teaching from the scriptures is shown by the frequency this word didasko is found in the New Testament. The importance of teaching the scriptures. Teaching from them. Capernaum. Amazed and astonished, just like in Nazareth. Amazed and astonished. Hearing Jesus teaching, it profoundly impacts the hearers. It means they're struck with amazement or astonishment. What was happening in that moment was beyond the ordinary. It was very different than what they experienced in the synagogues. It was beyond the ordinary. Jesus was teaching with authority they've never experienced before. With power they never experienced before. You want evidence of this? The evidence of the power coming through this word? The word had worked into the depths of the hearers, and one man in particular was pounded by this word. In the hushed silence of eager ears soaking in the words spoken by Jesus. Because the hearers were just soaking it in. Capernaum, they just were soaking it in that hushed silence of eager listeners to the word. Suddenly shattered by the shrieks of rage and fear. Luke 4, verse 33, in the synagogue was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit. He cried out at the top of his voice. The teaching of the word brought this about? Words, power, authority. Be quiet. Come out of him. The man is thrown down and the demon came out without injuring the man. The oppressed man has been set free. As the sign given Isaiah 61, as read by Jesus in Nazareth. What impressions would have been indelibly etched in your memory? What impressions would be indelibly etched in your memory if you had witnessed that moment yourself? All the people were amazed. What words these are. Word is logos in the Greek. And logos is a fascinating word in the Greek. It's multifaceted. It has a range of meaning from word, speech, reason, doctrine. What happened in that synagogue that Sabbath day began with the teaching of the word. Over to Simon's home in Capernaum now. It seems it's just around the corner. Simon's mother-in-law is sick. The Greek word emphasizes she is oppressed with a great fever. That's the meaning of the Greek. She's sick, oppressed with a great fever. They humbly appeal to Jesus to help her. After what they had just saw in the synagogue, a fever should be very easily taken care of. They're fully persuaded, help her. Jesus could do something there. It's persuaded. That's faith. Jesus, help her. That's faith. It began with the teaching of the word. Immediately she got up and began to serve them. Now for me, after being sick with a fever, it usually takes a bit of time for me to get up and get going. Here, Simon's mother-in-law, the fever left, and she was restored to health and vigor, such that she began to serve them. At the setting of the sun, meaning the Sabbath was coming to a close and the next day was beginning. The effect of what began with the teaching of the word is now being displayed even more. People brought to Jesus various kinds of people who were sick, all sorts of sickness, and also those possessed. Jesus laying his hands on each one. Note the individual attention given to each one. You are given individual attention by the Lord. Each one. Jesus healed them one by one. Demons cast out one by one. This continued all through the night. What began in the synagogue with the teaching of the word has continued now all through the night. The Sabbath was over. So all these healings and deliverances that were taking place were no offense before the scribes, Pharisees, and elders at this time. And because the Sabbath was over, those outside of Capernaum and the surrounding area, they could come to Jesus. All who came were touched and healed. Hear the word. Respond to the word. Come to Jesus. Morning arrives and Jesus seeks a solitary place, a wilderness place with no distractions, most likely to be with his Father in prayer, as Jesus oftentimes sought quiet places to pray early in the morning. The crowds find him and want Jesus to stay with them, to do more of what he's been doing. Pay close attention to what Jesus says. Luke 4, verse 43. But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent. And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. He must. And that word means it is the divine will. There's no way getting around this. This is the divine will. He must proclaim the word. He must teach the word. That is the reason he was sent, to proclaim, to teach, to spread the word. That's why he was sent. That is why he came. The healings, the deliverances are wonderfully fantastic. Yet they're signs. They are the signs pointing to Jesus is the Messiah. The teaching, the preaching, the proclaiming comes first. The words of Christ had such power that they worked their way into the conscience of the people, drawing the people to come to Him. From all over, they would come to Jesus. Begin with the teaching of the Word, trusting the power of the Word to go forth and do the work of God. I think it is fair to assume, as what is in the pattern in Nazareth, wherever Jesus went into a synagogue, the Scripture would be given to Him to read and then to teach as He traveled all through the synagogues throughout Judea. The teaching of the Word is the innermost and foremost portion of the ministry of Jesus. Bringing about the disciples, it was the teaching, preaching, proclaiming, bringing about the disciples to Peter's confession, "You are the Christ of God." And after that, Jesus says, Luke 9, verse 22, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised." That day He was raised, a Sunday, on the road to Emmaus. We find this, Luke 24, beginning of verse 26. "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into His glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, He interpreted to them all the Scriptures, the things concerning Himself." Began with teaching of the Word. The teaching of the Word. Luke chapter 1. "I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught." The teaching of the Word. It's powerful. It can change lives. Psalm 71. As I read this, I chuckled to myself because I could look in the mirror as a part of these verses, and I bet you can figure out which ones too. But I begin now at verse 18. "My mouth would tell..." Excuse me, I begin at verse 15. Psalm 71, beginning of verse 15. "My mouth would tell of your righteous acts, of your deeds of salvation all the day. For their number is past my knowledge. With the mighty deeds of the Lord I will come. I will remind them of your righteousness, yours alone. O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. So I proclaim Jesus is the Christ, the crucified and risen Lord, paying the full redeeming price on the cross. Come to Him. Hear the teaching of the Word that has the power to penetrate your conscience and set you free forever. Mercy for you, giving you a transformed life. Grace, compassion filled with so much grace. It gives you a new life in Christ, full of hope and joy. Come to Jesus, who showed He is the Christ through the teaching of the Word." Amen and amen.